Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM. You can check me out on my show, which is called Blue Rock Talk TV, Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis. Just go to BlueRockTalk.TV.com. That's where it is. It's 50% off for Coast to Coast fans by going, just go to BlueRockTalk.TV, go look at the top, and you'll see Coast to Coast fans coupon. Use that, okay? And then you'll get it half price for like a year. And then we can talk about it again, okay? So don't think, well, it's only a year. No, you know, we'll talk about it again. You're good. You know, it's a year. So, yeah. You'll go on our next creepy hotspot to Waverly Hills, a live investigation private just for us. 10 to 12 hours, man. They take care of us. And that's what I do monthly. And Bigfoot Friday and Far Out Thursday. And it's a whole community. It's not a podcast. It's not, you know, just an interview. It's not that at all. It's extremely interactive. And we have some of the best people in the world in there. I'm telling you, we have celebrities. We have people that, you know, you would want to know if you're in the conspiracy. We got, you know, little spy things going on for real, you guys. We got some head honcho people in there, but everybody is a Blue Rocker. They're in the know, but they're the best of the best people in the world. They really are. And they're all Big Coast fans as well. So come on. If you're into it, bring it on. I think you'll enjoy it. So that's where you go, BlueRockTalk.TV. So now in the future, we're going to be talking about fairies, and it's going to be a whole different thing, because usually when you go out, or at least when I've gone out and people see the little lights flashing, people say fairies. I usually say sparkles. So I'm always like, oh, there's sparkles. And there's different types of sparkles or lights. And I would always wonder, well, what's the difference between a fairy light and the other lights? But we've got Morgan here, Morgan Daimler. She is one of the world's leading experts on all things fairies. And she's saying, that's not it at all. But could be your cat, could be that might. Well, actually, I guess if you look at it that way, too, it could come across like a light, right, if it wanted to.
There actually is a lot of folklore to do with fairy lights, but they aren't the same as like the orbs you would get in pictures. They would be like visible, almost like flashlight beams or candlelight or torches, that sort of thing, in the woods, moving around. But they can be different colors, blue, white, yellow, that kind of thing. And they can move very quickly or slowly, all sorts of fun stuff like that. So, you
know, okay. So that's what most of us think of then, that one.
Yeah. Yeah. My personal theory, cause I have seen a lot of people, sharing pictures on social media of things like orbs, or, you know, in a photograph, that sort of blue flash effect you can sometimes get. And I think those can sometimes be supernatural, but they're probably something different. Fairy lights tend to be visible to, like, you would see them when you were taking the picture, not just afterwards. And they tend to have, like, a sentience to them. Like, you know, they'll move around in patterns and intentional ways and things like that. So it's fascinating stuff.
Yeah. I mean, how did you get into this? How did you get into the fairy world? Because there's a lot of different things to get into out there.
Yeah. I mean, some of it is a sort of family connection. You know, my grandfather was Irish, and, you know, so we sort of grew up hearing some of the stories and, you know, connected to that, that sort of folklore from that angle. And, you know, I had experiences myself when I was young. And so when I was a little bit older, when I was a teenager, I started trying to research the folklore aspects of particularly fairies, just to kind of try to understand, you know, to have some context for some of the things that I had seen or, you know, again, sort of experienced over the years. And for me, it was like a bit of an aha moment, because reading some of the folklore gave me that context. It made perfect sense, you know, relating to what I had personally already kind of encountered. And it is one of those subjects, once you start looking into it and researching it, there's just so much to it. So it'll kind of suck you in.
I bet.
Yeah, and the more you learn, the more you realize is out there to learn, and it just becomes this endless thing. So I don't think I'll ever know all of it.
Do you think that Disney had some sort of special meaning behind the Tinkerbell fairy?
You know, it's really funny because Tinkerbell, you know, she really is that stereotypical, everyone throws that name out and everyone kind of references her. And, you know, it, of course, the Disney movie is based on the book by Barry. And in the book, she's a little closer to what we would see in folklore. She's kind of vicious.
She's got that little look, like.
Yep. And, you know, very possessive of Peter. And, you know, he was writing at a period when, particularly in England, and also a bit in the U.S., during that Victorian era, fairies were kind of getting this PR makeover into more of this sort of child-friendly, tiny-winged sprite sort of being. And then when Disney made the first movie, which I want to say was in the 50s, 60s, I don't quite remember. I know it was quite a while ago at this point. The Tinkerbell in the original Peter Pan movie was still kind of mean. You know, she does try to get Wendy killed.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't do it herself, but she kind of tries to arrange a hit and get Wendy
killed. She's going to arrange a hit. You're right.
You know, which is definitely true to the older sort of folkloric fairies, which could be like that. And it's not really until we get into, like, the 80s and 90s and 2000s and you start to see the newer versions of Tinkerbell where she's just very sweet and friendly and helpful and, you know, it's like a complete 180 from it. So it was sort of this evolution, I think. But Disney definitely had a hand in it.
Yeah, a lot of people think bad things about Disney, so I was just wondering about that, how that went. And you've mentioned that you've had a lot of encounters, so tell us about some of those encounters.
You know, I think encountering fairies, in a way, it's a lot like people when you have ghost encounters. A lot of them are sort of random. I'll give you one particular story. So I used to be an EMT. I've been embarrassed to admit how long ago that was, but right around 2000, dating myself here. And I worked for a company that did emergencies and non-emergency calls. So my partner and I had been sent out on a non-emergency call. We were taking someone from a nursing home to the hospital, and we had a little bit of time to kill before we went to do that. So we had kind of parked by this big construction site. It was like a open field that was fenced in. And it's probably 4:30 in the morning in February. It's very dark. It's very cold. My partner's sitting in the ambulance waiting, and I figured, well, I'm going to get out and walk around for a bit because we do a surprising amount of sitting when you're in ambulance.
And you already took this person from the nursing home to the hospital already, right? They're not sitting in there with
waiting.
You.
We were waiting.
Oh, okay.
We came up, I think, at 5. So we had a little bit of time before we had to be there. And so I got out to kind of walk around a little bit, and I walked over towards this field, and it was probably the size of like 2 football fields altogether, and all fenced in. And I'm just standing there looking out, and I start to see this white shape kind of coming directly towards me. I'm thinking, okay, well, that's a little weird. You know, 4:30 in the morning in February, it's like 20 degrees out and pitch black.
And you're brave already to go out there and walk into it, so...
Well,
I was,
you know,
pretty surprised at that.
I mean, okay. There's a cross true over there. But I, you know, I wasn't scared. I was just watching, and, you know, it got a little closer, and I'm like, oh, it's a dog. Okay. I'm thinking, well, you know, someone, it's a little weird, but someone must be out, you know, letting their dog run a bit. I don't know how they got in the construction site because it's all fenced off, but, you know, things happen. I'm looking around. I can't see a human being anywhere. We're in the city, but the streets are completely silent. There's no people anywhere. And this dog is coming straight towards me. So I'm like, okay, this is a little weird, pure white. And the way it was moving was strange. So I'm just standing there watching it. And it got about two-thirds of the way across this big space to me. And I realized that it only had one front leg, but not as if it had had one that had been, like, removed, which sometimes happens. But, like, the front leg was directly in the middle of its chest, which is a fairy thing. They can have, like, weird deformities like that sometimes. And I freaked out. So a very mature response to have. And I ran the, like, 12 feet from where I was standing around to the passenger side, jumped in the ambulance, scared the crud out of the guy I was working with. And he's like, you know, what's wrong? What's going on? I'm like, well, that dog. And he looks out, and there's nothing there. Nothing there. And there was nowhere for it to have gone. It took me probably 3-4 seconds at the most to run around and jump in and tell him to look. And this was a bright white animal in a fenced-in field. Even if it could somehow have, like, run to one of the edges, like, there was just nowhere for it to have gone. And it was gone. It had completely disappeared. And the guy I was working with thought I was a little crazy.
For the rest of the time he knows you, he will always think that. So how did you think that was a fairy over anything else?
I was familiar with stories at that point. There's a particular types of fairy hounds that are described as being white. They usually have red eyes and red ears. I couldn't see the eyes or the ears that well. But they're usually described as being white, and they only have three legs. And they usually say that the front leg is like that. It comes, like, out of the middle part of the chest. I had never seen it. I didn't think it was anatomically possible. So it was, like, it was one of those moments where as soon as my brain sort of identified what I was seeing, I connected it to that, those stories. And that, I think, is why I kind of panicked a little bit and ran, which you're not really supposed to do in those situations. Like, it's a bad idea.
They'll keep chasing you, or what? I mean, what should you do? Should you confront it, or what? How should you protect yourself, or what should you do?
Your best bet in a situation like that would be to, like, walk slowly over and get in a vehicle, because, again, the iron is protective. If you're not in a place where you can do that, then ignoring it can also be an option. Sometimes just acknowledging that you can see it and that you're aware of it will kind of give it an ability to interact with you or mess with you. So sometimes you're better off to pretend you're not seeing it, which is also something they talk about in folklore and in stories, to just, you know, plausible deniability, I guess is what we would call it. Be like, if I don't acknowledge it's there, then it can't do anything to me. That doesn't always work, by the way.
Right, but right. Well, like, the Bigfoot wants to prank you. The ET wants to take you up and probe you around, do whatever they do. I don't know what the ghost wants to do. Just to freak you out. I don't know, but just scare you, make you feel scared all the time. But you're saying with the fairy, it can either maybe want to hurt you or not even kill you.
Yep. I mean, in that case, because of the way it was acting and because of the type it was, fairy hounds in general are usually not good. They're just associated with, like, bad outcomes. There definitely are fairies that will just mess with you. I'll give you another really quick, I'll try to make it really quick.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't. Hey, we're here to listen to you.
Quick story. When I was a little bit younger, I was hanging out with a group of friends, and we all decided we were going to kind of go hike in the woods a little bit, just because it seemed like a great thing to do at the time.
And it is.
It is. We were at one particular person's house, and there was, like, a wooded area behind the house and then a reservoir. We were all in our, like, 20s. Just to be clear, we weren't super young. We were in our 20s, and we hiked out, no problem, hung out for a little bit, decided to hike back, and it had taken us maybe 10 minutes to walk out to where we were.
And where are you? What area of the world?
Connecticut.
Connecticut, okay.
That's where I grew up. And we're walking back, and 20 minutes go by. So it's twice as long as it took us to get out there, and we can see the lights of the houses in front of us, but we can't get any closer.
Oh.
And there's a certain type of phenomena that happens with fairies, with some types of fairies. It's called being pixie-led or fairy-led, where you can get lost in familiar territory, and there's accounts of people being, like, in a field, like a farm field, and being unable to get out of it. And they do it, like, as a joke. It's like a prank, like you were talking about with the Bigfoot thing.
Mm-hmm.
They just mess with you because it's amusing to them.
Right.
So we just keep walking forward towards these lights, and no matter what we did, we couldn't get any closer. And we're walking straight forward towards these, you know, suburban house lights. And, you know, people are starting to get upset and panic a little. And finally, a friend and I just started laughing. Like, it was really funny because it was so ridiculous. It was such a ridiculous situation. And we started, the two of us, talking about, oh, this is a great joke. This is hilarious.
It broke it.
Yep. As soon as we said it, you could almost feel it. And within 2 minutes, 2-3 minutes, we were out. So, you know, things like that, pixie-led, fairy-led. What you're really supposed to do in that situation is, like, turn your jacket inside out. In folklore.
Hold that thought. I want to hear that. Coast to Coast AM, Connie Willis here, along with Morgan Daimler, one of the world's leading experts on all things fairies. Morgan, it's been fun. Right at the very end there, you were talking about one of the good things to do. I think if a fairy's coming your way with a shirt, turning it inside out, what?
Yeah, I was talking about if you're being fairy-led or pixie-led, or basically, like, you're lost somewhere that you shouldn't logically be lost.
Right.
The traditional folk remedy for that is to take your coat off and turn it inside out, or take your socks off and turn them inside out. It is kind of like either to reverse the situation symbolically, or it breaks the enchantment because it you change yourself, basically. So it kind of breaks whatever's got you stuck in that. Like I was saying, though, with the friend that I was, one of the friends I was with about 7 or 8 people at the time, and I had just started laughing and joking like it was really fun. I think that kind of ruined the joke that was being played.
Yeah, yeah.
It spoiled the fairy's fun.
I like that. I like that. That made sense too. And I've heard of stories like that before too, where this one girl was trying to get, they were in the, where, let's see, where is it? In Tennessee, the Bell area.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know? Did you say it?
It sounds familiar.
Bellevue or something, the Bell area. That's real freaky stuff going on. Everybody else knows it out there in the world. They're like going, oh, you idiot. But she was leaving that area with a friend. They were in a car and they were merging, you know, on the highway, you merge up and get up on that highway, and they were merging, and they never got off the ramp of merging up. And you know, those aren't that long, right? So the same thing you're talking about. And she was like, it freaked them out so much that they stayed away from that for a long time, actually. So,
yes.
You know what? We have a
unnerving experience.
Yeah.
Having it.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's like a bad movie. It's like that movie when they have that, you know, I'm trying to get there and I can't go, and it's zooming. They're like zooming in as the dolly's coming one way and the camera lens is going another way, and it totally messes you up.
Yeah,
now we've got.
Oh, sorry.
No. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I could probably talk about this for the next half.
Me
hour.
Too.
I think it's that cognitive dissonance. Like your brain is telling you that you should be getting where you need to be going. You should be moving forward, but somehow you're not. And like, you just can't reconcile that. So it's really creepy.
Yeah, it is. That's a mind playing with your mind on that.
Yep. Definitely.
I mean, yeah, you're thinking, how are they doing that? It's like, nope, that's just a mind trick. It's a mind thing. So we have a lot of people on the phone that want to talk to you. and ask you questions. But before that, I know how this works. Let's go ahead and ask you anything else that you want to say that you haven't yet that you want to make sure you say.
Oh, and now I'm all excited to hear people's questions. I think we covered the main things. It's just, you know, that fairies are definitely not, you know, nice or safe necessarily, and that they're not going to look like what a lot of people might assume they would look like. That they, you know, you can be encountering them maybe without realizing it, which is also probably a little unnerving when you think about
yes.
it.
Yes. Well, you're going to know if you are a fairy, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You would know. Yeah. You would be coming from somewhere that's not this reality, so to speak, this dimension, whatever term you want to use.
Okay. wherever you come from. Yeah. Okay. So we got quite a few phone calls in here. No, there's one from Fargo. Oh, you got to take Fargo, right? Just because... Fargo, you know, it's just Fargo. So let's talk to Craig out of Fargo, west of the Rockies. Hey there, Craig. Welcome to Coast to Coast. What's your question?
Hi, I just love your show. Thanks for letting me be on it. Hey, I've
Absolutely.
Had a problem with losing things, and you mentioned that ring and stuff. And I had a gemstone slipped out of my fingers, and it disappeared on the floor. And 6 months later, I found it in a picture frame hanging on my wall.
Wow.
And I've lost things like that all the time. And I don't think they like my smoking because they're always my pack of cigarettes is missing and then it's there later and my lighters are gone all day long. Just she said that and just struck a chord. So I have a question. Can I bribe my fairies if they're doing that, like put out a piece of candy for them or do something to get them to, be more on my side or whatever?
Oh yeah, 100% you can. They tend to like dairy products in particular, and that's a weird cross-cultural thing. Like fairies in all sorts of different places, for some reason, dairy products are kind of their favorite food item. Bread, cake, honey, things like that. So yeah, you can definitely leave a little something out for them. Just sort of in the spirit of friendship and them not stealing your stuff.
I love that. I wonder if when he got the lighter back and when he got the cigarettes back, if maybe there was a cigarette gone, you know, maybe they're out there smoking it. maybe they lit one up, right?
There's a couple different types of specifically Irish types of otherworldly beings that are known to smoke. So that is possible.
Okay. All right. First time caller, Dr. Steve Worley out of Minnesota. Hey there, Steve. How are you?
Hi, Connie and Morgan. Say a quick comment. Back in the 80s, way back in the 80s, I was a new university professor. And my time was like totally consumed. I was on the tenure track, publish or perish. Well,
Nice. Occasionally
I'd have a guest over to my apartment, and what a panic trying to get things cleaned and straightened out type thing, and I would always forget the downstairs bathroom.
Oh, never do that.
When I sent people down there, when they came out of there, of course, my attempt at an impression was totally blown type thing. I wish I had known you back then, because I could have said, when they had that strange look, I'd say, well... what's wrong? I mean, my pristine bathroom, I must have had a fairy intrusion and they turned it into a dank cave. But I think on one of your titles, Morgan, that you probably used, you ought to have a title for your episodes, All Things Fairy Strange.
Oh, I like that. That's cool.
I love that.
You're the best. I'll let you go. There's a lot of callers waiting for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I like that. What did he say? It was all things
very
strange.
Very strange. I like that a lot.
Yeah, so write his name down. It's Dr. Steve Worley, because you'll have to give him credit in that next book.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's a great name. That's a great name. Wow. So, you know, so he's got dirty basement bathrooms, but he's really good with titling books for sure. Let's see if we can't hit a few more here. Let's see. North Carolina, east of the Rockies. Sue, welcome to Coast. How are you?
Well, hello. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Yes, this is very interesting because even as a child, my mother used to read me fairy tales out of a fairy tale book. And I really took it to heart. I mean, these were not just imaginary things to me. To me, they really existed. And I thought they lived out in fields, like maybe under mushrooms and where flowers grow. And I always looked at them as such wonderful, wonderful things. I thought I could see them all the time in trees. And they were tiny, tiny, tiny. I would say not even a quarter of an inch. Mm-hmm. My question was, can they be tiny like that? And I think they even came to my aid when I had crises when I was a child. Could that be too?
Yep. I do try to emphasize that they can be human size, but they can be all sorts of different sizes. There are tiny ones, and there are giant ones. So you know, it's possible that you could have seen some of the smaller ones. And those would be the ones you would more encounter, like in nature, connected to natural things, like you were saying, trees and flowers and such. I think those are the sorts that they can sometimes take a liking to someone, just for sort of their own inexplicable reasons. Those ones, the ones that tend to be tinier and more connected to nature, do tend to be more benign. They tend to be sort of the nicer end of the spectrum. I haven't talked about the nicer fairies pretty much at all tonight.
I know. They're just evil.
Yeah, more people are familiar with the friendlier ones, so I try to focus in the other direction. But, there are stories of people who see the sorts of beings like you're describing and who either feel like a positive presence with them or feel that they're helping in some way. They're sometimes even just if the person's going through a bad experience, kind of making them feel a little better about what's happening. There's a really good resource online. It's called the Fairy Investigation Society. It's run by Dr. Simon Young, and he's been doing a fairy census, which is not actually a census of fairies, but it's a collection of anecdotal accounts, like this, personal stories. And you can kind of check that out if you want to see kind of the range of encounters that people will have. But there's definitely some that fit what you're describing. So, yeah, that's completely possible.
Yeah, I like that. And that it, you know, helped her. And that sounds really nice. You just got to watch out once after they help you, then they might, you know, maybe trip you or something up, right? You know, they might do something to just kind of go back to that little fairy thing of being a little brat or a little punk every now and then. So speaking of books,
humor.
Right. I like that. I like that. You got to be on your toes, right? So before we take off here, because it's the time flies when you're on the show, doesn't it? It just flies by.
Well, and this is one of those subjects that we could just talk about for five,
That's
six
right.
hours. So,
well, how do people get a hold of you and tell us about your books real quick?
Sure. I have 35 books published.
Wow.
A few of those are fiction, but I do a lot of nonfiction, Irish mythology, fairy folklore, of course. Any of those you can find online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Me personally, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, all the social medias, and that's all just under my name, Morgan Daimler, so I'm super easy to find. I'm not hard to locate at all.
But I messed up your name the whole time. Daimler. Daimler. I've been saying Daimler.
It's a German name, so everybody messes it up. I blame my husband, it's fine.
There you go. What's your maiden name?
Henninger, which is also a German name, so that doesn't help either.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, Daimler, I love it. Thank your husband. Hey, it's been great talking with you. Really, really fun, really nice. You're right, we can continue on and on. And I'm just looking at the list of some of the books. It's not even all of them. So, wow, you're an author.
Yep, I've been doing it professionally full time for 10 years. So that's, I stay at home and that's what I do all day, every day.
I like that. The pagan portals, the between the worlds, the treasure of the Tuatha De Danann?
Tuatha De Danann, yep. The Irish gods, basically.
Okay,
that's my weird hobby is I translate Old and Middle Irish into English. So that's the original mythology translated.
And then the traveling, the fairy path. These are just a couple of them, you guys. Again, 35 of them. And check her out for sure. Morgan Daimler and Twitter as well.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again, I hope. Take care.
Have a nice night.
You too. Morgan Daimler, really great, man. Those are some really good stories. Interesting as well. And, you know, good ones, bad ones. It's funny. Good sense of humor as well, right? It's always fun to go, well, I only talked about the bad ones, so let me talk about the good ones. So they're kind of all over the place. Now there's a whole new mixture in your head that when you're out there, whether you're at home or out somewhere and something happens, now you can wonder, is that a fairy? Or is that an ET? Is that an alien? Or is that an invisible Bigfoot? Or is that a ghost? Or it just continues to get a little more confusing, doesn't it? Well, let's see if the next guest can't kind of help out in that area, because he kind of looks at everything as well. He's a documentarian. His name is Darcy Weir. And Darcy is, you know, he looks at the UFO world, the volcano world. You guys know that one, right? Where all the ships go into the volcano. Whoa, one of my favorite things, because there's something big to that. There's something huge to that. I can't wait to talk about that. Phil Schneider, the Sasquatch, I think I hit most of them. And then seeing what are they, how do they, again, how are they matching up? What are the similarities? Who are the people? And he's the guy that's got those documentaries out there that show you evidence after evidence after evidence, the good stuff. Yeah, I like that. So he's coming up next day with us, Darcy Weir, Connie Willis, and Coast to Coast AM.